Joe Flacco meeting the media yesterday. All the buzz about Haloti Ngata and his $60 million deal. It begs the question, who's next to get paid? Ray Rice is in the final year of his deal. Flacco has another year left. Here's Joe.
It's great for Haloti to get a great deal. And, you know, I think hopefully in some future, all of us are going to get a new deal. I mean, I don't think going ahead in this season it has any, you know, it doesn't really mean anything. And I'm not going to think about it. I'm just glad for Haloti right now. I'm not really thinking about myself.
That was Joe Flacco. Let's bring in Mike Florio from the best website out there for pro football information, profootballtalk.com. Mike, even though Rice is up earlier, long-term, who's more important to the Ravens? Who do they absolutely flat-out have to keep, Joe Flacco or Ray Rice?
Oh, without question, it's the quarterback's league. You can find, all due respect to Ray Rice, a guy who can come in and run the football. Now, he may not be a Ray Rice, but Ray Rice isn't Barry Sanders. I mean, you can find guys who can move the chains if you block for them. There are a lot of guys out there. And the thing is, running backs tend to get used up in their first contract, and they're not as good in their second contract. Quarterback's a guy that you need if you want to have a long-term contender. So without question, without hesitation, Flacco's the guy that you want if you had to choose between him and Ray Rice.
Mike Florio is our guest. Hey, Mike, all this controversy about what the Giants did with the fake injuries, the NFL now, you know, wagging their finger at them. Is this really, you know, a cardinal sin, or is this just good football strategy?
Well, look, it's playing within the rules, at least as far as the rules can be practically enforced. Unless someone is really stupid, and I'm sure there are a few guys on some NFL rosters who are really stupid, no one's ever going to admit to faking an injury. Now, the NFL is essentially huffing and puffing with this memo that says if there's reasonable cause to think there's been a fake injury, everyone involved is going to be brought to the league office and presumably put under the white hot lights of interrogation until they crack, you know. But I really don't see the NFL wasting its time on it. I think the NFL is just trying to control this thing. And my suggested solution has been and will continue to be expand the rule that applies in the final 2 minutes of each half when any timeout, no questions, or any injury, no questions asked, results in a timeout. Expand that to include when a defensive player is injured at a time when the offensive team is clearly in a no-huddle attack. Any injury, you take away a timeout. No questions asked. You take away the incentive to fake an injury, then you're not going to have fake injuries.
All right, I have a different solution. I think this is, not that yours is wrong, but here's what I've been thinking about, and I've heard other people say this as well. To me, it's a no-brainer. If you're hurt, you can't come back on the field right away. So if you're hurt,
wrong. I mean, the rule now is, beyond the final 2 minutes of each half, if you're injured, you have to miss one play. How many plays do you have a guy miss?
Okay, so you can conceivably say, you know what? It's either you have to miss four plays, or something like come up with a number more than a play, because right now it's a play, or you're out for the series because, you know what, we're really concerned about your safety. If you're hurt enough that you needed attention on the football field, it's not in your best interest to go back on the field. Now, I know
I think a team would give up a guy for the rest of the series. You've got like 7 and 8 man rotations on the defensive line. If they are getting gassed and they are on their heels and they can't stop a no-huddle offense, they're going to give up. They're going to give up one of those guys if it means stopping that offense. It's a fair trade. Having to give up a timeout is a different issue because if you have a timeout, that's what you use if you feel like you're on your heels. This is essentially a way to get a free timeout. So just take away a timeout. I mean, it's a no-brainer to me.
So you're saying only in the no-huddle situation?
Only in the no-huddle. And see, that's what the NFL addressed it in the memo they sent yesterday by saying, we've considered the possibility of taking away a timeout any time a guy's injured, but it wouldn't be fair to do it, you know, throughout the game. Well, I'm not saying do it throughout the game. I'm saying do it when the offense is in a no-huddle attack. At a normal time in the game, there's no incentive to fake an injury. The only incentive arises to fake an injury when you get into crunch time, and when you're in a no-huddle and you feel like you're being pushed against the ropes and you need the referee to come in and break it up so you can catch your breath.
So then what would stop a team from – well, number one, if you're against the Colts when Peyton Manning comes back, they're pretty much in a no-huddle almost all the time.
I wouldn't – well, it's not just no-huddle. It's not the absence of a huddle. I think you also want to look at when the ball is snapped in relation to the play clock, you know. If it's 25 seconds or more on the play clock for two or more plays that the ball is snapped, or maybe you put it in the discretion of the referee, one of those you know it when you see it things. You know when a team is in a no huddle hurry up attack, and a team may have an incentive to to fake an injury. So when you get into that situation, the referee says, okay, any injury, you're going to have a timeout. And the referee just makes that decision. So the referee doesn't have to decide who's got fake cramps and who's got real cramps, because cramps are easy to fake. And they're great. There's no evidence of it. You get a cramp, you can't walk. All of a sudden, the cramp goes away, and you can run full speed. So, I you know, something that takes away the temptation to fake the injury. That's what the NFL needs to come up with, instead of having some inquisition in New York City over whether or not Derek or what Deion Grant actually had real cramps.
My wife fakes cramps about twice a month. Very easy to fake.
Mike Florio is our guest. Hey, Mike, speaking of real injuries now, Tony Romo, you know, collapsed lung, broken ribs, all this stuff. A couple of Redskins now have said they're targeting him to come after him. Number one, is it okay? I mean, we know it goes on. Is it okay to actually say this out loud? And number two, what was Michael Vick with a head injury? And they said, yeah, we're going to ring his bell and knock him out of the game.
Yeah, what was I saying about stupid players possibly being in the NFL? I mean, D'Angelo Hall shouldn't be saying that that's what he plans to do. He shouldn't be saying that. And he said, you know, putting a helmet on Mike Vick's or on Tony Romo's ribs, the only time you can put a helmet on a quarterback is when he's a runner. If he's passing, in the act of passing or just through a pass, and you hit him with a helmet anywhere, 15-yard penalty and a fine and the whole, you know, discipline up to including suspension. So, you know, not real smart to say it. They're going to be watching D'Angelo Hall now more closely. But, you know, that's part of football. That's why teams don't want to disclose their injuries. Now, with that said, and I mentioned this last night on NBC Sports Talk, if you think D'Angelo Hall has the physical ability to put a helmet on Tony Romo's ribs, pull up YouTube and search D'Angelo Hall and Jake Delhomme and watch Jake Delhomme juke D'Angelo Hall out of his jock strap and ask yourself whether or not he could put a helmet on Tony Romo's ribs.
If you were advising Michael Vick coming off the concussion, would you say, Mike, totally trust the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles doctors and their trainers and the independent doctor? Or would you say, you know what, look at some of these guys, go look at the Dave Duersons and some of these other players, and go find your own concussion expert before you step on a football field?
No, Mike Vick wants to play. See, that's the thing. The NFL put in a system, Steve, that is aimed at protecting guys from themselves. And I've got a problem with telling a guy who is of sound mind and legal age what he can and can't do. I mean, isn't the American way accepting risks? I mean, if you know what the risk is, that's the issue with the lawsuits, and there are at least three of them pending now against the NFL, that the NFL concealed for decades the risks of concussions. There ain't nobody that can say that now. We all know what the risks are of concussions. We all know about Dave Duerson and Andre Waters, and the list goes on and on. So as a grown man, and Mike Vick's over 30 now, if he chooses to play a week after having a concussion, he should have every right to play. It's no different than Tony Romo playing with a rib that's punctured his lung. And the only difference is Congress cares more about concussions than they care about the potential rupture of internal organs. So the NFL has to walk on eggshells about concussions now, and this independent neurologist has to give Mike Vick his blessing, even if Mike Vick is aware of the risks, understands the risks, and is willing to accept the risks and play football.
Mike Florio, our guest, the ProFootballTalk.com. Speaking of stupid players, you know, on your site, you got the two Bengals players now having a controlled delivery of marijuana to the home. You got, you know, Jerome Simpson, Anthony Collins. Now, they've got...
Which, by the way, one of the people that smokes pot in our building says that's about $7,500 worth of pot.
That's right. So. Yeah, that's true. And you got Pac-Man Jones, of course, Cedric Benson. It seems like the Bengals are always in trouble. Is it the media just focusing on the Bengals, or is that franchise just like the land of broken toys where they have all these guys there?
No, it's. I mean, look, the media now focuses on any player that gets in trouble. And you know, the typical run-of-the-mill arrests are DUI, marijuana possession, mm-hmm. domestic abuse, and those make headlines now, regardless of what team you play for, what city you play in. With the Bengals, it's just, you know, if I had come on and told you guys there were two players who were detained after $7,500 worth of marijuana was sent to a guy's house, and he was there when it arrived, and they found another 6 pounds of marijuana in the house, what team would you guess?
Yeah.
What would be the first team? And it's not because Mike Brown, the owner of the Bengals, is trying to set up some home for wayward youth and change guys and convert guys and make them into good citizens. He tends to go after players who other teams don't want. So you can get those players at a bargain. You can get free agents cheaper. You can get draft picks in later rounds. quality, talented players who slide down because of some off-field issue. And I don't know anything about whether or not Jerome Simpson or Anthony Collins had prior issues, but it fits the Bengals' pattern.
It does.
They go after guys that no one else wants, who are talented and can play, and Mike Brown doesn't care about the off-field stuff.
I'd be remiss, since you live in West Virginia, fairly close to Morgantown, if I didn't let you pound your chest about West Virginia beating Maryland. But enough about that. You just pounded your chest. What I am curious to know, Mike Florio, is the buzz down there, now that Syracuse and Pitt have defected to the ACC, how furious West Virginia is, how concerned West Virginia is, and where West Virginia is going to end up.
Well, that's the huge question that's on everyone's minds right now. And I'll tell you this. I was on radio in Charlotte yesterday and asked those guys, what you folks in North Carolina, what's your problem? You don't want West Virginia in the ACC, and they pull the academic qualifications card, and you took Pitt. I mean, give me a break. You took Pitt. Don't tell me about academic qualifications if you're going to take Pitt. And on top of that, you know, I just think West Virginia is going to have to be the anchor tenant of a dying strip mall. I think that's what it's going to be, and they're going to bring some more teams into the Big East. They'll probably lose their automatic BCS berth, but I'll tell you what. The stuff that's going on with college football now and the NCAA, and there was a bombshell article in the Atlantic recently. College football, the NCAA, college sports, they're going to change. And whether it's going to be Congress coming down, whether it's going to be through lawsuits, some way, somehow, the NCAA is going to implode upon itself, and it's long overdue.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. You can read him at ProFootballTalk.com. You can check out their shows online. And tell everyone where they can see you on TV now.
Sports Talk, NBC Sports Talk on Versus, Monday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They still do the show Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, but they don't talk about football those nights, although sometimes they do. I was on last night for about 10 minutes. But mainly Monday night with Russ Thaler, who used to be at CSN Washington. He and I do it Monday. Friday night, Peter King, Russ and I do it. So it's coming up tomorrow night, 6 o'clock Eastern.
Good stuff. We'll see you on TV. Mike. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it. Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com.